Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hyperthetical.
Hello and welcome to this very special episode of the IGN UK podcast. Because do you know why it's special, Dale?
You say everyone's special.
Well, that's every episode that I'm on is special.
Oh,
that's
right.
Why.
Okay, is that the rules?
It's not because you're here.
Oh, all right. Cheers.
You know, it's nice to see you, yeah. But it's not special because I see you every single... Exactly. I see you more than my wife, practically.
We sit next to each other.
And that's why it's special.
Exactly. I feel like, in fact... when I turn over and see my wife in the morning, I expect you to be there.
Sorry,
you're not, and I'm always sad.
I'm sorry to disappoint.
I know, right?
Yeah.
My wife does have a beard and short grey hair. But
Great image in my head. Thanks.
Who's that third voice?
It's me, Jesse. How's it going? I'm not saying anything else. I can't say I'm young anymore. Whoops, I mentioned it. Sorry, Dale. I don't mean to.
I specifically said not to keep mentioning that you're young on the podcast.
I think we...
Well, I just wanted to end it there. Yeah. The saga's over now.
Right. Well, from now on, if you say that word, the Y word, okay, you have to put £5 in to the swear jar.
Okay.
IGN UK
swear
jar.
We don't even have one anyways.
Well, I will make one.
Okay, good. As long as everyone else follows the rule.
Oh, wait, hang on. Are the swear words going to be in the swear jar? Because I can't fucking swear.
Yeah, I can't just be sectioned off because I'm not that old.
I promise you are going to be skint by the end of this podcast, right?
Fuck.
Yeah, you can swear all you want. This is a young jar. And I can say it because I'm not.
Yeah.
Okay, then. Great.
Maybe stop we'll saying you're young.
All right, I'm not. I'm old. There we go. It's been settled.
You don't have to declare your age at all. It's okay. Fine. Just carry on.
No one gives a shit.
Yeah.
Anyway, this week has been a hell of a week for news.
It's been a lot.
Star Wars Celebration happened last weekend, mm-hmm, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But first, the surprise drop of PS5 first details, which I was not expecting.
It was a proper surprise, wasn't it? I don't think they've ever done a console reveal quite like it.
We were halfway through a game of Rainbow Six.
And we just had to drop it immediately.
Yeah, Joe saw it on Twitter and was like, shit, we need to kind of stop and get on this right away.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to go to you first, Dale, because mm-hmm, you're a Sony fanboy.
I am, yeah.
And what are your first impressions of the brief specs we've seen so far?
I think Joe wrote an article for Sight, which I think is kind of like cock on for me, which is...
Cock on, I've not heard that in a while.
Sorry, I'm a very British boy. Which is... It feels like a PS4 deluxe,
yeah,
as in like it's just everything the PS4 is just upgraded to the max.
But hasn't that been every console up until now?
Well, no, because they usually have some. I suppose they're gonna lord the loading time thing as their big feature. But normally there's something, isn't there? Whether it be 1080p.
But we're running out. Well, it's got 8K.
Well, I mean, they say
they
say support for 8K, but really that's probably like the home screen running at 8K, and then what, trying to actually get games to run at 4K, 60.
Well, they said 8K gaming, didn't they?
I mean,
they said that term.
I'm not too sure, but...
But they also say 4K gaming for the PS4 Pro, and that's definitely
yeah,
not
exactly,
4K.
But
gaming.
When it comes to 8K games, you can't expect like Horizon, like the sequel to that, to be run at 8K. It's probably going to be the most simple of games. Like if there's a particular indie game that can run at 8K, then you'll probably find it.
Also,
run like that.
Part of me thinks
no one's
like,
got an 8K screen.
Exactly. It's future proofing, right? As well.
Yes.
It's like saying somewhere down the line, this console or an iteration of this console might have the ability to do 8K gaming, but we're not looking for that at least like 5 years, I think.
Yeah.
Because like, can you even buy 8K TVs right now? I'm sure you can in America.
Yeah, you can, but they're like madly expensive, obviously.
Like, and obviously, they will come down fast. Like 4K TVs came down like super fast.
But I don't feel like I've got a particularly good 4K TV.
No.
Because all the different like HDR setups and like screen panels and stuff like that, I don't feel like that technology is particularly well embedded. You know, I'd like a really good OLED.
Yeah.
But they're still easily over a grand.
I only jumped on the 4K craze like last year. I was running just like a kind of 30-inch 1080 TV since like 2013. I know. It's been doing me fine. But when I jumped to 4K, obviously there's a huge difference. But when it comes to like visual quality, especially what we can expect for PS5, it's kind of like diminishing returns. I can imagine they mention ray tracing, but really to like, well, what extent will that be implemented? I can't imagine to a huge extent compared to what we've seen on PC. Probably just light variations of it.
I thought it was mad that he openly said, they must be confident because the fact that he just openly said those things in a written piece. Like, ray tracing is something that's, from what I can understand, only achievable by like the highest graphic cards, right? Like £1,000 graphic cards.
Yeah, like the RTX new series of like NVIDIA graphics cards, that's specifically why they're released for ray tracing. And support is limited right now. You can do it like in Metro, Battlefield. And really, it's not like super, super impressive. Like, not everyone's going to be blown away by it. But to try implement it to what's going to be the, obviously, the next iteration of PlayStation, I can't imagine like how that's going to affect the price. Like, it's going to go nuts.
This could be potentially be a massive fuck up. Because if they don't deliver on some of these things now, they're going to have people constantly, like the famous E3 conference where they said all these things with the $600 PS3 one, that people will be constantly taking the piss out of them for years to come.
I feel like they've learned their lesson in that respect, though. Like,
do you not think this thing is definitely going to be £500, though?
It's going to be like £600.
I don't think they will ever make that mistake again.
I think it'll be £450. Yeah.
But I mean, they mentioned as well, like, these new additions are going to reflect in the price because everyone's asking about the price, right? So it's going to be leagues more expensive than...
But they learned their lessons so hard from PS3 that they, I can't imagine after the success of PlayStation 4 they're ever making that mistake again.
Sure.
Even if they operate a substantial loss, it's worth it for the head start.
Exactly. Yeah. You know? Like hard, for a long time, hardware, it's been known that they make no money on hardware.
Yeah.
It's all through software. Yeah. Especially as everything's shifting to digital. Prices for digital
are higher. They're getting the cut off every digital sale as well. Like, there's so much more money to be made now. And yeah, I can't ever see them slipping up like they did there. They learned their lesson there. But I definitely think it's going to be, there's going to be price parity with what the Xbox One X is.
Yes, exactly. That's why I think 450 max.
They're going to look at that and see that as a case study and think we can get away with that, because people, although they think it's expensive, nobody like refused to buy the console because it was that expensive.
I don't think £450 for a piece of hardware tech like that is that much. You spend more on your phone and you upgrade your phone more often. What else lasts you for that long?
I mean,
obviously,
consoles
fail, but it's going to last you, hopefully, for 5 years.
Like, gaming is the one thing where we refuse to accept price increases.
Yeah.
Like, games are
have
cheap,
stayed like £60.
But they've been, $60.
Yeah, for sure.
But they're cheaper now than they were like in the N64 generation. £70 for games.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
It's the one thing that like is stayed the same, whereas every other like media has gone up.
And in terms of the amount of development resource that goes into making those games, that's increased dramatically.
And and then inflation and things like that as well.
Like, going back to 8K, I think if they hadn't have done included 8K, they would have probably got shot in the foot for it. I think you have to make it 8K even if no one's going to use it for the next 3 years.
Is it just like a marketing thing? Just a bullet point to sell it?
It's literally, it's better than 4K.
Yeah.
Yes, tick. Yeah. But I do think, that step up, the development cost increases because you've got to put more detail into it. It's not just a case of hiking up the resolution. You want to increase the detail within it. And so I just think, are we going to see fewer and fewer games now because the amount of work that goes into it is the same?
I'd be like, if they said true 4K and they said this thing, this zero load times thing, that would be like, that speaks to me perfectly.
Yeah.
Like, load times, I'm playing a game right now that I can't talk about, but the load times are fucking well annoying.
Right. We're getting more exciting advancements like outside of visuals, just like the loading times, for example, in Spider-Man, like the trying to get from one point to another in the loading times is like, what they said, 18 seconds, and in this like low speed version of the PS5 they said like 0.8 seconds. And then
it's
also
not interested.
but then is that if it's in 8K or not? Make a difference?
We don't know, obviously, now, but as well, just like, I'm more excited for just the other general advancements in PS5 other than visual, because they also mentioned audio as well and trying to bring up the gold standard for that and obviously trying to raise the bar.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, for sure. Just
although still listening through your... I know he highlighted headphones as the experience.
Yeah.
But if you're still listening through your shitty speakers on your flat screen TV...
Or like, that one single earbud that they give you with a PS4.
Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah. Like, if you're going to commit to that, then make that kind of accessory affordable.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they even mentioned as well, like, the speeds that are going to be shown in the PS5 in regards to loading times, it are way more faster than the SSDs you can get like on the market as of now, which is pretty interesting. So I'm just more excited for like the general things other than visuals, because I think we've already kind of got that
Yeah, well, exactly. I don't look at video games right now and go, oh, they're disgusting. Give me better.
The fact that it's backwards compatible and it seems like it just builds upon PS4 architecture, I think, is a really good sign, because there's the idea of the learning curve, especially like with PS3 when they created that bespoke sort of software. Yeah, people had to learn how to develop for it. I think...
Well, that hit them so hard.
Yeah, I think they're absolutely going to hit the ground running with this. I imagine there's going to be a ton of games that are crossing over on both consoles, much like... was it Ground Zeroes, I think, was on
that was on
both.
PS3 and stuff.
And then there's a couple of GTA moved over a year later as well. I think there's Death Stranding absolutely going to be maybe not a launch game, maybe a launch game, but come
Last
out on
Last of Us
both.
2, I'm sure.
Yeah, Last of Us 2 definitely going to come out both.
Even with Rockstar, they're probably doing the ultimate version of Red Dead Redemption 2. We're going to see Overwatch on the PS5 and Siege, stuff like that, most likely.
It's exciting. So it's like we're just taking a step up, but we're not going crazy. Leave Nintendo to do the crazy stuff and Sony is just want more reliable.
As Joe said, it's a lot of people will like that, and myself included. I don't particularly want my home console to be any different from kind of what it does at the minute, because it's a console. I'd rather have that and deliver that high-end premium experience than Google Stadia, where it's you can just have it built into your TV. And I don't need that.
And that's the benefit. Yeah, and that's the benefit of Sony choosing just the same AMD architectures that's what the PS4 use. So with the PS5, we can just bring back our entire library
exactly
and stuff, and it's basically just like you said, a PS4 Pro but a deluxe edition of that.
To be fair, I don't think I've ever used backwards it's one of those things that people love.
I
particularly love it because I have this deep love for my PS2 games, because that's what I grew up with, but that's never going to happen, because we saw that with the PS3, you could play PS2 games, but it's just now they've kind of, I feel like Sony messed that part up, because with Xbox they have backwards compatibility with your discs and stuff, but they didn't include having to put trophies into your original Xbox games and stuff like that, which Sony kind of really wants to implement and stuff. So there's they've given themselves more work for their backwards compatibility team, which is deemed unnecessary. But just with PS4, the entire library for the PS5 and then whatever new exclusives is going to be for that, that's already a selling point.
Yeah. God of War 2 on PS5.
Oh, God. 8K. The best thing about backwards compatibility is when you work in this industry and you have to capture games and you want to capture an old game, if you can do it on a modern console, that helps out a lot.
Yeah,
for sure. Purely from our point of view, it's fantastic.
Because capturing on PS3 is a pain in the ass, let me tell you.
Yeah, that system doesn't exist anymore. I think we just... Write that off so you don't have to ever capture from PS3 again.
Good deal.
It was pretty painful.
All right. Also, so Rise of Skywalker, which is the title of Episode 9.
What does it mean?
The first trailer.
I think the internet's already worked out what it means, right?
I mean,
I don't know if Al knows he's serious. I know you're on a lockdown now.
So yeah, let's talk about the trailer first before we talk about the title.
Okay. Because, cool.
So when Force Awakens came out, I watched the first trailer. Not just the teaser, which is obviously the Falcon doing the twirly-whirly bit of the Desert Jeans.
That's the official term.
And then the first full trailer, and then I didn't watch anything else until it came out. And I think I was the same for...
Last Jedi.
Having seen this teaser, I'm not going to watch any more stuff. Yeah. And it's because I'm so fucking excited for this film that I just feel like I need to calm down a little bit.
So I... a guy who used to be in this podcast called Gavin Murphy.
Never heard of him.
Yeah. His girlfriend told me that she refused to watch even this trailer.
Really?
She said she loves Star Wars that much. She's
outdone me.
She wants to go in completely clean.
It's impossible to do that, though. Like, with social media as well, like, everyone's going to be talking about the big things that happen in the trailer. And, I'm so weak at the knees when it comes to this stuff. Like, the second a bit more footage comes out or another trailer, I have to watch it.
I'm exactly the same.
Because I'm so excited for Star Wars. I grew up with it much like everyone else, just to different degrees. I had the prequel trilogy.
Yeah, you grew up with the prequels.
Yeah, the only Star Wars...
How come? Why did you only start then?
Because I'm not old. There we go.
So I've got a question for you, actually, because Rory was similar like that. And then he grew up with a prequel trilogy. And he always said that Jango Fett was his bounty hunter.
Really?
Yeah, as opposed to Boba... He's like, Jango Fett was my guy as opposed to Boba Fett.
Well, I mean...
Are you the same?
Jango Fett is technically, cinematically a lot cooler than Boba Fett, just because he actually does a lot more. Because Boba Fett, the only time
he does a lot more rubbish.
Well, I mean, the only time you see Boba Fett is that, he gets whacked and then he dies.
Right. No. You've seen more than that.
Well, yeah, but, like, he doesn't do any like really cool shit.
He's cool. No good to me,
yeah.
Dead.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's just that one. Voice. Yeah, they dubbed him with the other bloke. But like, he doesn't do as much as Django, but obviously he wasn't like, he was just a background
character.
But he
was more mysterious because of that.
Yeah, for sure. But like, I wasn't fussed between Django or Bubba. Like, I like General Grievous.
Okay.
He's the coolest
what?
Guy.
What?
Yeah, he was fucking cool.
Words I never thought anybody would ever say.
He was a ridiculous character.
The thing is, yeah, when I was growing up watching Star Wars and stuff like that, it wasn't the films that really made me love Star Wars. It was like the expanded universe, so particularly the games,
yeah.
comics, even the audiobooks, and as well the books, because there's so much to just like dive into there, especially if you love Star Wars, obviously.
Yeah.
But yeah, the films, they didn't really cut it for me that much, just because I had such a large access of Star Wars
even
games.
Even episodes 4, 5, 6?
Yeah. Just because, like, because for me, those films act as the foundation. And then if I want to really explore more of Star Wars, then, you know, I have the books, the games and stuff like that. I love all those films, but I have more love for the expanded universe than just the films.
But what about when the expanded universe was all retconned?
Bastards. no, but that doesn't,
wasted time.
It doesn't discount my joy for those.
No, of course. No,
for sure. Yeah. And, you know, they're coming up with their own stuff all the time anyways, especially like for the new games they're doing. So they're doing new comics books all
yeah,
the time.
Yeah, do you read like the new Expanded Universe stuff? Like the Darth Vader comic?
Yeah. I've already blasted through that. I'm keeping up to date on all the Star Wars shite just because that's my thing. I love Star Wars.
Yeah. So, and we all love Star Wars, man.
Exactly. But who's listened to a Star Wars audiobook? Because they're actually pretty good and I can't say anyone has.
I haven't.
Sometimes they go all out and they get like multiple people to do different voices. They have the sound effects, music and shit. So it's just like a proper audio production. It's pretty cool. And sometimes they last 12 hours and it can be a bit too long.
12 hours.
But it's good for a train journey or when you're on a plane.
I've never been on the train for 12 hours.
That's true.
Also, I just watch the films.
Yeah, fair enough.
Do that.
Save more battery though if you're just listening to an audio track.
Yeah, that's there what I want. When I want to enjoy Star Wars, my main priority is to save battery. Yeah.
So how many times have you watched the trailer up to now?
Well, I watched it about half a dozen in the first day.
Yeah.
Like a lot of times just flicking through it all. And then I watched it a couple of times since. And then every now and again, if I see it, like if I'm scrolling, I have to watch it again.
Yeah.
I love it. I think it's like massively put together. But Star Wars trailers usually are brilliant because the music more than anything.
I thought the music in this one in particular was
incredible.
Literally thinking about it, it's making the hairs on my arms.
Yeah, it's the same reaction I got when The Force Awakens trailer came out. And you know, you have like what? Han and Chewie at the end stuff like that. It's one of those where that was like such a magical moment, and I saw it on the train and stuff just when I was coming back from a sixth form, and it was like the most magical thing in the world. And the same feeling for this trailer as well, especially the ending of the trailer gets me most excited.
But that, what a mad ending.
Yeah,
right?
I know. Okay.
That was a proper surprise.
Like, insane to figure out how he's going to do this in a way that kind of makes sense after The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he will, and I'm sure it would be cool, but like, so I think when I spoke to you, the thing I like about it is at the end of Force Awakens, I really, really cared about Rey and about Finn and where their journey went.
Yeah.
And after Last Jedi, less so.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
Definitely.
I enjoyed
Finn.
The film.
No, I'd care less
exactly.
about Finn.
Yeah, exactly. He became a secondary character.
Because what happened
movie.
On The Last Jedi in like Canto Blight, which was the casino planet, that was like such a wasted opportunity.
But now, after seeing obviously the opening scene with Rey, fuck me, that is like, I'm really looking forward to seeing her being properly badass.
Yes,
and like, you know, embracing everything that she's kind of learned up to now. And again, I'm getting excited.
So we're going to talk about this theory about Skywalker, or should we leave?
Well, I mean,
it?
There's multiple different theories. Well, so
I've got my theory.
I don't mind like you talking hear. About theories.
Okay.
It's fine.
I mean, I saw someone say it online, but I thought, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The fact that it's the Jedi are over and there's going to be a new breed of Jedi called Skywalkers.
Skywalker.
Yeah. That's what you are. And that's what the rise is. It's like Rey creating this new thing and she's naming it after Luke.
Yeah.
I think that sounds like the right answer to me.
Because I mean, in like canonically, I guess like Luke is somewhat of a legend. Mm-hmm. Obviously in like the Star Wars universe, so to think that like, you know, obviously the Jedi over and as well as the Sith, to think that people just kind of like rename everything as like a Skywalker to represent not like Jedi or Sith, but just like kind of like a general blanket statement.
The only thing is though, it goes against the idea of The Last Jedi. I know it seemed like The Last Jedi was about ending the Jedi, but at the end Luke says there will be more Jedi.
Well, that's the thing though, like who says like the Jedi's over? It's Kylo, right?
No, Luke says it.
Right, okay.
It's time for the Jedi to end, he says.
Yeah.
But then at the end,
that's coming
he says,
from a point of confliction within him, because obviously he's like tormented between what he should do and what's obviously happened in the past.
Yeah, if he really wanted to end it, he'd have just killed himself, wouldn't he?
Oh, that's a bit dark, isn't it? Wow, right. He just appears on the island and kills himself.
But no, at the end, when he's fighting with Kylo Ren, he says, I won't be the last Jedi.
Yeah.
And so, but maybe he means just the idea of like the hero as opposed to the name yeah. conventions of what yeah. a Jedi is, and Rey's yeah. going to evolve that idea into something new.
In the same way, like Sith and like different variations of bad, yeah. dark people.
Yeah. Oh, I'm excited to see the Knights of Ren.
Oh yeah, they look good.
That,
yeah.
Like, I wish yeah. there was a glimpse of them in the trailer. Because
we saw like a yeah. few frames of them in like what the Force Awakens. I keep saying yeah. the Force Unleashed. Yeah. That yeah. fucking annoying
we'll
game.
We'll come back to that.
Yeah, for sure. But no, the Force Awakens. Like, we saw them briefly, and then they weren't mentioned ever yeah. again, and not even in The Last Jedi either. But so it's exciting to see like what his own kind of like henchmen are going to be and what they were doing. Because yeah. if they weren't mentioned in the previous film, like what's the explanation as to why they just weren't there? Other than Rian Johnson just didn't. Fuck it,
I mean, basically, like, The Last Jedi takes place in like 2 days or something, doesn't
yeah,
it? It's like a very small period of time.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
maybe they're just off doing someone else.
Why not?
Yeah.
Just on a related note, Mandalorian. What did you think of that?
Oh, do you know what? I haven't watched a trailer for that.
Have you not?
No.
It's not out there officially.
So they released a trailer, but then there's also like, I think 5 or 6 minutes of like the first episode they released online.
Yeah.
I think it looks pretty cool.
I think it looks really fucking cool.
Yeah, I'm excited to see Bill Burr in it, because he's in it.
I mean, see,
Bill Burr is kind of like this US comedian who actually hates Star Wars fans usually.
Ah,
and he's in it. So I'm just quite excited to see how that works out for Disney.
When I heard Pedro Pascal was in it, I was like, yeah, I'm interested.
It is weird.
He like, fits the Mandalorian like yeah.
But it is weird hearing
look.
His voice in all of that gear.
Yeah.
But you should watch the footage.
Yeah, I'm definitely.
But there's some scenes with him looking amazing in it. But then there's like there's a lot of callbacks to like the original Star Wars. So there's... I don't think it is IG-88, but there is yeah. that style of assassin droid. Sure. Like, I mean, spinning around, arms going off.
Probably is him, it
looks
right?
Cool.
Jabba's little pet, or whatever the fuck is that little
scrum
thing? Yeah, like he's on like a spit,
yeah.
getting roasted.
One of them.
Yeah. It's fucking nasty, I loved it.
Yeah.
And then obviously you have your stormtroopers there and shit, but just like Mandalorians look fucking cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that armor's rad.
Yeah.
And that's all I need.
And I think that's the thing. Like, obviously, I love Boba Fett, but it's mainly that aesthetic. And,
yeah, for sure.
And I feel like he'll be within the realms of Boba Fett in terms of coolness.
Yeah.
And that's why I don't think Jango Fett is as cool as Boba Fett, because he's just a bit more kind of blockbustery.
It's too shiny.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. But I mean, a lot of people don't even know like who the Mandalorians are, because if you haven't watched the Clone Wars, like, you know, cartoon series or Rebels or even just any of the expanded universe, all you know of like the Mandalorians is Bubba and then Django.
Yeah.
So to have its own series expanded like that, I think it's fantastic.
I mean, you know, we say it like with video games, we say things are a system seller. Like, this is absolutely like a streaming service seller for me. Like, I had no interest.
Sure.
When I heard there was going to be a Disney service, I was like, no interest.
Yeah.
I'm not signing up to another thing.
Yeah.
Then they announced this. They put all the Simpsons on there as well, and then they said it was like £6. I was like, you bastards, you've absolutely got me day one here.
And also, like, the production of Mandalorian looks as good as the movies from what I've seen. It's like, you know,
they've got me.
Everything's moving that way.
I mean, from the footage we saw, like, obviously it was only from like people recording from their cell phone, but when there was a segment when they showed like a TIE fighter and stuff like that, and from what I remember seeing and the quality of the video, it looked pretty good.
That was the one thing, because my brother's a big Star Wars fan, we spoke quite a lot when it came out, and we were like, why didn't they just release that as high quality footage?
because then everyone will just pick it apart, and I think it'll just be good to see actually what it looks like.
Yeah.
Because obviously, if it's coming from TV, but I mean, Disney have Disney money; they're going to make this look good.
Yeah.
Can I just go back a second when you called a mobile phone a cell phone?
Did I say that?
What's that all about?
Did I actually say that?
Yeah, you did.
Well, it's because it was recorded in America, and therefore it was recording on a cell phone.
Yes,
right.
But come on.
There we go.
There you go.
Sorted.
So last big thing they showed at Star Wars Celebration was Jedi Fallen Order trailer.
Been waiting 6 million years for that one.
Okay, yeah, you've spoke about your love of Star Wars games. Let's go to you first.
So, like, one of my favorite Star Wars games is, like, Star Wars, like, Jedi Knight Academy, right? So it's obviously one of the
not that dancing game that they did.
What, Star Wars Connect, when, like, flying solo, I think that's one of the core songs. Yeah, love that one. No, I mean, everyone's... people who like Star Wars games love the Jedi Knight series just because it's one of like the most interesting ways you can actually play as a Jedi when it comes to games and stuff, and they haven't really done anything like that since like the Force Unleashed. Yeah, but that was like, it didn't really focus on the lightsaber combo. It was more like, you know, you can use a lightsaber, but really you're fucking around with the Force powers and stuff like that. And it didn't feel as impactful, fast and fun as the Jedi Knight series did. So with Respawn Entertainment, like they're pretty good at handling controls, fast movement, stuff like that, especially with Titanfall 2 and Apex. So it'll be really interesting to see how they treat, obviously, like with their skill set, treating that like with the Jedi player.
They've absolutely got Warren in this game.
Yeah, for sure. They showed that straight away.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. I think in terms of Jedi traversal and that kind of stuff, I think
they're going to have that nailed down.
Has any game done lightsaber combat really well?
Yeah, it'll be the Jedi Knight series. Yeah, that is the.
It always feels a bit like.
I know what you mean. Yeah, but, I've never really felt like it's a true satisfying experience.
But what system would actually work? Because there's multiple games you could potentially look at, like Forerunner, Beat Saber. Yeah. But that's like, obviously, that's just VR. That's just, you know,
but that's what I mean. It's like literal, like, but yeah, like knowing that someone's going to attack at a 45 degree angle and you've got to counter that, parry it or knock it to the side.
Well, they have a lot. They have a lot to look at because obviously they have like, you know, tons of games that they can take inspiration from, just like Forerunner, but also bringing it back to Jedi Knight. You know, there's like three distinctive like lightsaber styles you can use in that game, and also you can have like, you know, two-handed sabers, saber staff, or just one. So it depends like what kind of Jedi you're going to be playing as, because if you're only ever going to have just one single lightsaber, then there's obviously different variations of styles of lightsaber and shite, but I can't imagine how they're actually going to play.
Do you know my problem with lightsabers in games is always like, if they haven't got a lightsaber as well, then you should one hit everybody.
That's what
irritates me when you're hitting a droid and you have to do like 10 whacks of it. It's like, so a lightsaber should cut through.
That's what's like in Jedi Academy, which people like. Like, you know, when it comes to stormtroopers, you know, if there's tons of them, then you might be in trouble. But if there's like four or five, you use a few force powers, you can deflect, and then you just swipe them down, you chop their heads off and stuff.
Yeah,
but
you should feel unbeatable.
Yeah,
in those
for sure. But then when, you know, one Jedi appears and he could be like, you know, the shittest NPC, you're going to feel a bit threatened because you don't know how exactly it's going to go. Yeah. But in the Force Unleashed, it's like, it takes like four hits with a lightsaber to kill a stormtrooper. Yeah. It just feels terrible. It should never play like that.
Yeah.
So, if you're going to have a lightsaber, what kind of lightsaber would you have?
The one, Luke's one from Return of the Jedi. That is my lightsaber. That is the one when I was a kid, when I played, that's what I was picturing in my hand.
Okay.
When I was using the TV remote as a lightsaber.
You strike me as a Darth Maul double staffer.
I was just about to say, Darth Maul, but yellow.
Yellow?
Yeah. That's what I always went with, because
I wouldn't look good in the daylight.
So
that's what every Jedi thinks.
Before you gotta look cool, at least.
Before like the whole Jedi Temple fell down and like, you know, the Sith basically took over the entire universe and shite. Yeah, exactly. They used to have what was like Jedi, I think, like temple guards and stuff, and they had like a double bladed lightsaber and it was yellow. So the lightsaber they actually shown on the poster for Fallen Order, because you know it kind of looks broken at the helm and stuff.
It does look like it's been snapped in half.
And because we know that the game takes place shortly after Revenge of the Sith, people are theorizing that like that lightsaber is taken from one of those guards that have died and it got like chopped off or something.
It's blue.
It is blue, but I mean you can change the color of a lightsaber through like the kyber crystals and stuff like that.
Yeah, how does that actually work? What's the science there? Like, is it the color of the crystal, or do you have like a little hue control on the
It's just a little dial on the side. Oh,
it's changed like multiple times, but I think one of the most recent examples I can think of is in the Vader comics. Vader hunts down this particular Jedi who's obviously after Revenge of the Sith, stuff like that. He's like high enough in a planet, and he ends up killing this this Jedi, takes his lightsaber, destroys it because he has to, you know, Vader has to get his own lightsaber.
Yeah.
And he finds this kyber crystal inside the lightsaber. I think it's like green or blue. And then the kyber crystal himself takes it back to Vader when like he used to be good. So he goes through like this kind of emotional journey through the kyber crystal. It's really
so the crystal reacts to your emotions.
Yeah, well, because like it's like its own kind of living thing, because it's meant to like bond to the person who's using it and stuff.
Sounds like Harry Potter now.
It's really fucking weird. But I think from what I remember, like Vader overpowers the good side of the kyber crystal, and then it ends up becoming red. Okay. As far as I remember,
it's some Avatar shit.
It's really.
I am so pleased that bullshit doesn't come over to the films. Good God,
it's like spiritual shit. It's not like, you know, they just go to a shop. It's like blue lightsaber, please, and like yep.
It should be like.
No, it shouldn't.
Well, Jedi.
So that's what the Disney store's like.
But yeah. But no, it's the whole thing of like, you know, the spiritual journey of like a Jedi, you know, they go off to whatever these planets are, and you know, they do the whole spiritual shite and they get their lightsaber and it's all special to them and stuff like that. But yeah,
cool. Good lesson that was. Yeah,
I quite like.
As far as I remember, if I got that all wrong, then don't contact me about
Kylo
it.
Kylo Ren's is wicked as well. Just because it looks cool.
Exactly. Yeah. It in itself looks angry
and
yeah.
sound effects
slightly out of control.
The sounds are amazing of it.
What do you guys think of the character you're going to be playing as in Fallen?
Stupid Star Wars name.
Yeah,
because
it is mad
Cal
boring.
Cal Kestis.
Is that his name?
Well, that's what I looked up. Yeah.
It's so naff, man. Like, I don't want to play like another Han Solo Luke kind of like just gruff, typical
Star
Wars man.
Floppy-haired young boy. And what's interesting about this guy?
There's so many aliens you can just like pick from and like go wild about that. But they just chose just some Star Wars bloke.
Yeah. I thought it was a really safe, slightly boring choice.
So, yeah.
And also like the bit where he's war running and it looks like he's wearing like dark kind of Jedi outfits.
Yeah.
You kind of, it's a younger version of Luke.
Yeah.
What is it?
I mean, what he's wearing?
No, is he what kind of version of Luke is he?
Is he Padawan?
He's
trying to get you to say young.
Oh shit. Fuck it. That's fine. I don't have to pay anything. But yeah, like I'm pretty sure he's still an apprentice throughout the thing, and then like I think they mention already and he ends up meeting like a Jedi master.
She's in the trailer. She's the one that is in the strop ship thing that he grabs onto or something like that.
But I just hope it's going to be this tense journey through the galaxy when Darth Vader's like always at your heel and stuff, like chasing you throughout the game. Yeah, I think that'd be quite cool.
The Force Unleashed though, like I think right now it feels very similar to Force Unleashed. Obviously we haven't seen what the mechanics are, how it plays. It could be very different, I'm sure it is. But right now it feels like you've just basically redone the Force Unleashed.
But the character you play in the Force Unleashed is like stupidly overpowered. He's actually ranked as one of the most powerful Jedi amongst everyone in the entire Star Wars universe, just because he can take down entire Star Destroyers. He can face Palpatine one-on-one.
Yeah.
And just like for a bit of plot armor, he actually loses. But if you can take on Palpatine and Darth Vader and take down Star Destroyers just by using the Force, you're probably one of the most powerful Jedi about. But I mean, this guy, he's an apprentice once the game starts, I suppose.
He is a Padawan. Well, that's what it says.
Yeah, for sure. So it'd be interesting to see how that...
And also, I don't think Vader's really going to be a sort of antagonist in it. I think it's the
Inquisitor.
It'll be the Inquisitors. There's a name for
him. I think the Second Sisters or something
Second
like that.
Second Sister. Yeah, but something like that.
That's the specific Inquisitor who was teased in like one of the Darth Vader comics, I can't quite remember. But I think Darth Vader is going to be like the overall presence. Like that's the thing you're like.
Yeah, there might be like that's who she reports to or something.
Yeah.
But I think
for sure it's going to be
the main battles are going to be
through the Inquisitors and stuff like that. Yeah.
It's exciting though. And it comes out this year as well, like November. Yeah. So yeah, I'm excited
for like just a proper single player Star Wars
game. Exactly.
Yeah. Like, I'm sure we're going to do E3.
I enjoyed the aesthetic of Battlefront and those games.
Yeah, like they.
But I wanted that storyline and to be hooked. So I think that's exciting.
And the story of Star Wars Battlefront 2 was. Yeah,
it was a bit weird, wasn't it?
Yeah, wasn't great. Not a big
what
fan.
About the story of Game of Thrones, the last season, which started this week?
Sorry.
So,
I think you guys are more excited than I was.
Well, I watched it about 5 a.m.
because
I happened to be up. And it was also, I woke up and I was like, maybe I'll go downstairs and watch it. And I'm pleased I did. But I watched it twice before I'd even come into work.
Nice.
Was it that exciting?
When I first watched it,
I know, but this particular episode. But yeah, go on.
When I first watched it, obviously the rest of my house was asleep. So I had the sound down quite low. And quite a lot happens in it.
Yeah.
Like I saw, obviously a lot of people saying, oh, this is not what I wanted from a finale. But then somebody actually wrote out everything that happened. And a lot happens in that episode.
Yeah.
It's kind of key to what's going on. So when I rewatched it, it was through headphones, so I could literally suck everything up.
Before we go into it, should we do a spoiler warning or something? Or
I'm happy to talk generally rather than specifics.
Okay. Well, I don't care. Like, I want to see something.
All right. Dale might talk spoilers.
Okay.
If you don't want to watch Game of Thrones, skip... Five minutes.
If I set a timer for 5 minutes.
5 minutes.
There we go.
Right.
Skip 5 minutes from now. Right. So my favourite thing in the episode though is something really ridiculous, but it's when they absolutely brutally fucked up Ed Sheeran.
Did you catch that bit? Well, I didn't.
Wait, so was that confirmed? Did he die when, like,
well, by a dragon?
You never see it.
How is it confirmed?
So
though?
it's It's the prostitutes that are with Bronn. They're telling a story about a guy called Eddie who fought for the Lannister army. They said his eyebrows burnt off or something like that. No, not his eyebrows, sorry, his eyelids burnt off.
Right, okay. Something like that. Yeah. I'm not sure I was paying that much attention to that particular scene, but I thought they were just referencing like Tom Hopper's character when like, you know, the army died and they just burned him. Yeah.
No, they said the Lannister guy.
Oh, shit, yeah. Like, well, I was not paying attention to that part.
I don't think the show creators have actually come out and confirmed it, but a lot of people have read
they said he was a ginger guy as well. Yes. It's absolutely that. And I thought the episode was full of those loads of those little things where on first viewing you just sort of wash over you, but it's like there's so many callbacks and nods to the very first episode, like even the bit at the start when the kid's running to get through the crowd, that's what Arya does in the very first episode. She's running through to see the king, and now that she's doing it to see the queen. And there's obviously like Jaime and Bran like reunited the first time they've made eye contact with each other, and
like his face at the end is, you know, it's
He does a lot of staring.
Yeah, his face throughout the entire thing, because like before I watched the episode.
I'm sorry, I meant Jamie's, not Bran's, because Bran is completely emotionless. It never changes. Yeah, sure.
Bran just staring everybody out.
He's just the easiest acting gear in Hollywood. I mean,
he's obviously just annoyed. There's no like accessibility ramps for him to get out of the fucking castle, so he's just stuck there in the middle in the court. But like before I'd watched the episode, they were like hashtag Bran and shit like that. I was thinking, fuck, something bad's going to happen. And then I watched the episode and it's like, nothing really, like,
I mean, there was a major lot of, there was a lot of stuff, there was
it's a lot of setup.
It was all positioning, it was all getting people into the right place for the big right, like episode three is going to be the big battle, right?
Okay,
it's going to be the Battle of Winterfell, and next week I imagine it's going to be, you know, dealing with Jaime coming there, and also some stuff happening in King's Landing. But episode three is going to be a big battle.
I
don't know, this is a prediction that they're going to lose that and they're going to regroup and then a final battle in King's Landing or something along those lines.
That would make sense to me. Yes.
Yeah.
Unless it's all over by the end of episode three and that's like, oh, right.
Okay. I mean, I'm definitely sure there'll be some surprises and things like that as well. Yeah. What did you think about the dragon flying
bollocks
sequence?
It was
so standout rubbish.
Like, when you say rubbish, like visually, like it looked like like scene.
I thought visually it looked good, but I thought
visually it looked shite.
I thought idea of it, the fact that
both
this idea that John was riding at, like, they positioned this like Danny doesn't know who he is.
Yeah.
So they position like anyone can ride a dragon if he's all right with you.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, here's the keys to my car. Go on, take it for a spin.
When I watched it, all I could think of was Aladdin and A Whole New World playing over the top.
I thought of like How to Train Your Dragon. It just felt like really shite. Just undeserved.
That was a moment that needed to be earned. And I also think when he finds out that he's Aegon Targaryen, that felt undeserved as well. It just sort of, oh, by the way, I'm just going to drop some information on you right now. And he didn't react like in the way I thought he would. I thought he'd be way more shocked than what he was. I mean, I suppose you can argue he's always known something like that. And it was like, it made sense in his head. But I felt like these moments need to be earned a little bit more.
Yeah.
Like the worst offender for that was Theon saving Yara on the ship. It literally happened in like 2 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But just to get Theon back to Winterfell, that's all they're doing. And it's like, that is the unfortunate side effect of having like a 6-episode short season.
You've got a lot to get.
Yeah, a lot to do. And in previous seasons, that would have been over 3 episodes.
I mean, they're focusing on the battles and stuff. They want the big spectacle over more than just like the little finer nuances on the story, I feel like, anyways, because they're not following the books anymore. So they don't have like...
I feel like that was kind of happening in last season.
Yeah, anyway.
It was like they were cramming in so much. Like that, was it Beyond the Wall or whatever the episode is where they literally go all over the whole
distance
country.
They cover in that episode is insane. But I mean, look, we're being negative here, but I thought overall it was like, it was great to see these characters again. It's great to like have this, we are moving fast, and I think that's good in a way because we're moving towards a final destination and it's exciting to, you don't know what's going to happen next as well. Like, and I'm really excited.
That's it. Even the few kind of like character tweaks, like, you know, I thought Sansa was a lot more kind of bolshy and standout this episode. You know, don't know what's going to happen between her and Daenerys. Sorry, we've got 20 seconds left.
Yeah, we've got 20 seconds left. What about that, the Umber kid screaming at the end? How horrible was that?
What is it with all those spirals then?
That's their symbol, isn't it?
Yeah, that's like the dead symbol. They had it at the Fist of the First Men as well. They put out horses like that.
Forgot like where that kid came from though, because like you see him in one scene.
I think that's literally why they did it.
He's the Umberlord that they sent back to
and
recruit steam. There we go.
Oh, that's a classic sound, that.
Yeah. Okay, no more spoilers.
No more Game of Thrones. But instead, why don't we have a game?
Yeah.
A game
Endless
of?
Search time. This time, we've got one that's been actually sent in. So I'll read the email first.
Is it a new one?
Yes, it's a new game. Yes, a new game.
Excited.
So this is from Prince Yeboah, and that name caught my eye initially because Tony Yeboah is one of the greatest football players
to ever live.
It
sounds like one of those emails you get offering $3 million in an offshore account if you respond to this.
I mean, Prince, yeah.
Yeah, that's every day.
Prince Yeboah says, I assume his first name is Prince? Prince says, "Hi, AJ and crew. I have a game for you. It's called Sounds Like a Game, but feel free to come up with something better."
Prince, didn't bother.
I just copied your email.
Lazy
The concept
day.
Is, can you guess the video games based on the track titles from the game's original soundtrack?
Oh, I'm going to fucking smash
For example, I'm just going to read out 10. I'll read out the last five. So, EastEnd Boys, The Rubicali, Marlowe's Revenge, Stowaway, and the last one is Nate's Theme 3.0.
Oh, I wonder what that one. Yeah,
exactly.
That's
all
right. Well, up to that point, yeah. Impossible.
There might be some in the other ones, though. Okay. It says all the track names are from Naughty Dog's Uncharted 3. On the spreadsheet linked below, there is blah, 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 blah. Yeah, he just gave a game to play. So let's play it, shall we?
All right. Yes. Is there any kind of like deeper game in terms of links between everything?
There is a link. There's five games and there's a link. And he also, which I think is really cool little detail, he put the score that IGN gave it. So maybe
nice.
I'll start with that and it might give you an extra hint.
Can we get a hint of like as to what are they all in like the same console generation?
Nah, or? Just go in blind.
Okay, yeah. Let's just go nuts.
How does the scoring system work?
We'll go for that. But before with that, jingle. Inside, it's a UK IGN crew. Yeah, and the ones and twos. We got the games gonna play for you. Inside, I got a question for you. Hold tight, the DJ, we coming through. Yeah, and the ones and twos. We got the games gonna play for you. Inside, I got a question for you. Is it in the search? Okay, so the scoring system is something you might be quite familiar with.
Okay.
As in, we start with 10 points and then you go down to 1 point.
Very familiar with that.
Yeah, people tend to follow this pattern, really.
And how many points for the link? I always think 1 point for the link is just a bit stingy.
Yeah, I agree. So we're going to say 5.
5 points for the link.
Arbitrarily just pick that number.
All right, I'm excited to lose.
Okay. So number one. Yep. So game number one scored an 8.8 on IGN.
Okay.
All right. High Sea Hijinks.
Sea of Thieves.
No.
Assassin's Creed Black Flag.
No.
Fuck.
Look, just calm it.
I need to win.
Number two. Die House.
No.
Number three. Shooting and Looting.
No.
I don't know.
Next one. Chief Evil Officer.
Oh my god.
These are quite tough actually.
No.
Probably should have gone for this first. Next one is Coin Up Bop.
Oh, okay.
Fuck.
Ooh, a lot of blank faces here.
No.
Next one is Honeycomb Herald.
Mario?
No.
Street Fighter?
No. Next one is Floral Furry. Fury.
Floral
Fury. I had this last week. I just get stuck on a word. Floral Fury. There we go.
Floral Fury.
Floral Fury.
Floral like Fury.
Another.
Is that the last one?
No.
Okay.
We've got three more. The next one is Threatening Zeppelin.
Wolfenstein.
No.
What's that game with Jack Black?
It's not that.
Fuck.
It's what was that? The Tim Schafer game.
Brutal Legend.
Brutal Legend.
But it's not that.
But it's not that.
Okay.
Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
The penultimate one is Carnival Kerfuffle.
Oh, fuck.
Carnival. It's like
Twisted Metal.
I think I'll give you a hint with the carnival. It's maybe you're overworld.
Oh, hang on a minute. Bioshock.
No.
Oh, balls. Oh, shit. I don't know.
And the last one is Don't Deal With The Devil.
Cuphead.
Yes, it is Cuphead.
There we go. I was going to say Cuphead.
Jesse, with 1 point there, Jesse.
You should have gone through this before. Because I think it's going to be 1 point is all the way through.
Yeah, potentially, yeah.
Oh, man.
I did not get chance. That's my excuse every year.
Yeah.
The next one is, it scored an 8.4 on IGN.
Right. That narrows it down.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something, right?
I don't have an encyclopedic knowledge of every game we've reviewed and what score it got.
First up.
Yes.
Sanitarium.
Batman Arkham Asylum.
No. This is a really hard one.
Oh, so, fuck's sake.
Next one, Double Ballers.
Saints Row?
No.
Fuck.
Army of Two.
Ugh.
No, this is a game within a long-running franchise.
I'm sure Jesse can see through.
Yeah. No, I can't.
It's a game within a long-running franchise. If you just say the franchise, I'll let you have it.
Call of Duty.
No.
GTA.
No.
Stop it.
Stop naming franchises.
For fuck's
sake. Weapon select bears.
Far Cry.
No. Weapon select. Next one. Slaughter Club.
Borderlands.
No.
Damn it.
Manhunt.
Manhunt.
That's a good game. I love that. Next one. White Room and main title.
Great. No, that one.
Portal.
No. Next one. Budapest Bath Hotel.
Hitman?
It is Hitman.
There we go.
Hitman God. Contracts. Yes. To be exact.
Yeah.
There we go. That's 5 points to Jesse.
Jeez Louise.
Next one scored an 8.5 on IGN.
Oh, I know it already.
First up, Pride of the Job.
Call of Duty.
No. Next one, Slow Brood.
How on earth are you ever going to get this?
I know, right? This is tough. Should have thought about this for more than 5 minutes. They can't all be winners. Not every quiz can be great. No offense, Prince Uber. Next one, I always kill, in brackets, the things I love.
Tomb Raider.
No.
Is it another franchise?
No. There's only one of these. Next up, sake. New Beginning.
Oh, I think I actually know.
You'll get
one.
It on the very last one.
Oh, okay, yeah. Right, this is so stressful.
Next up, Use and Abuse.
Detroit.
No. Next up, Torched Song.
No.
Yeah. Next up, Temptation. It's a good song, right?
I was thinking Red Dead Redemption 2, but no, you just said all series.
So from the next one, you're going to guess that again. Oh. Redemption.
Oh, fuck's sake.
It's not Red Dead
Redemption. Red Dead Revolver.
No.
Oh.
Good try. Next up, Guilty.
That's also a song in Red Dead Redemption 2.
A game where you say Guilty?
Ace Attorney.
Yeah.
No.
What?
But also, that's a series.
Yeah.
And the last one.
Oh, God.
And this is a race.
For fuck's sake.
Noir Clarinet.
L.A. Noir.
Yeah.
No,
I wouldn't have got that.
Right. Fucking number four.
This is ridiculous.
Yeah, sorry. It scored an 8.5 on IGN.
Oh, yay.
And this may have already been mentioned as a little hint.
Oh, no.
GTA. Assassin's Creed.
No, you can't do what I was
Royal
doing.
Royal Reception.
Assassin's Creed.
No. Painted in Blood.
Red Dead Redemption.
No.
Fuck.
Once More with Teeth.
Resident Evil.
No.
That wasn't mentioned.
Again, this is part of a franchise and I will accept the franchise name.
Oh, this is so frustrating.
Next one. Victory in Inches.
Wait. Call of Duty.
No. You said how many times has Call of Duty been
said? Yeah, but Victory in Inches, Madden. I don't know.
What did you say?
Madden.
No. Secrets of the Goddess.
Assassin's Creed.
No, to both. Do you still think it's Madden?
Well, no, it's success in inches. That happens in Madden.
Yeah.
I think that's a good answer. Thank you, Dale.
Okay. A Sermon of Bullets.
Oh,
I feel like that is definitely, that comes up in the game. That phrase.
Borderlands.
No.
Shit.
Predator's Way.
Far Cry?
It is Far Cry. It's Far Cry 4.
Bang it.
The rest of them were The Hard Road, The Whisperers of My Blade, and Welcome to Kyra.
All right. Well, that first one.
That would have given it away, wouldn't it?
What did you get? On Predator's Way?
Yeah.
Yeah, Jesse. So Jesse, I mean, I'm pretty sure you won. You got 6 points, 7 points.
Is that it?
You got 11 points, Jesse. So
let's do a few more.
Unless you can get this on 10 and the link. Actually, no, on 7 and the link.
I have faith in Alex's ability to do it.
Okay. This scored a 10 on IGN.
Oh, shit.
Breath of the Wild.
No.
No, you can't just...
The Dragon.
Skyrim?
No.
Don't think we gave Skyrim a 10, did we?
Yeah, I know someone would.
Ashes.
God of War.
It is God of War.
Oh!
So that's 9 points to Alex.
Does that put me in the lead?
No, you've got 9.
Oh, fuck.
Jesse's got 11. But then there's a link.
Oh,
and
fuck.
There's 5 points for the link. So the link is the winner if someone gets it. So the games were Cuphead, Hitman Contracts, L.A. Noir, Far Cry 4, and God of War.
I don't want to lose. Take the fall, Alex. Let me win.
And a little hint, bear in mind, we're talking about the music in the games.
Oh.
Same composer. No, it wouldn't be.
It's not the same composer.
They're all available on Spotify.
Come on. I'm sure they are. There you go. It's not that. Come on, Alex.
Did they all win, I don't know, BAFTAs or awards for their
Each game is a BAFTA winner for original music.
Yes. Come on.
I got the most deserved win.
I don't care.
Nah. 14 to Alex. If we had kept the link at one point, you wouldn't have won that as well.
Oh, but
that's what I mean. One point would have been ridiculous. Originally, you wouldn't have won.
Yeah.
I did
win. If we're sticking to the rules.
I won.
It started off a bit crap, but I think it picked up at the end.
What?
Thank you, Prince.
What drama?
Yeah. Feedback.
Shall I go first?
Yes.
I've got an email from Ned Newbury that says, "What's up, IGN Massive?" He didn't say that. What else am I going to say? He says, I hope you're well, and this email finds you in good health. Thanks for continuing to do my favourite podcast on the internet. And welcome to Matt and Jesse too.
Thanks.
I'll read it normally now. So please would you join me in sending heartful congrats to my brother, John Newbury, who is an avid listener. He's become a father this week, and his son's name is Seth Peregrine Lancelin Newbury.
Ooh, posh that is.
Peregrine, that's Lord of the Rings reference.
Congratulations,
I know, congrats. So he, as a side note, he says he smashes Joe's posh name out of the water. I think he definitely does.
Jesse, do you know what Joe's full name is?
No.
It's Joseph Valerian's Screbbles.
That's nuts.
He can defeat a White Walker.
Yeah.
And anyway, he's great and his mum's doing very well too, which is amazing. So amazing, this child was born the same year as the end of Game of Thrones, Avengers Endgame, and the latest Star Wars trilogy. What do you think will be the major pop culture event when he's 18 in 2037? A Fortnite movie? I hope not. Fortnite will surely be dead.
You'd imagine so, but you never know.
Honest to God. Well, like, I think in video games, but I do think you saw the story about like some secret billionaire who's looking to do Battle Royale for real on an island.
With like airsoft guns.
Yes, please.
Yeah, but that's the first iteration. This is the beginning of the end.
Oh, no.
We are one step away from the running man at this point.
I hope by 2037 that Seth Peregrine Lancelin Newbury isn't living out Running Man for real.
Cool.
And to answer the question, probably a Marvel film. They'll probably still be going at that point.
Exactly.
There's no end in sight.
With a name like that, Lord of the Rings is going to make a comeback because of Amazon. That's it. That's all I want to say.
Yeah, but not in 18 years. That's happening right now.
It's going to be wildly popular.
From like the 50s.
That's true.
Yeah. But anything can happen.
Yeah. We'll be getting a reboot of The Matrix or something.
With?
God knows.
We'll be in The Matrix,
of course.
Oh, right, that makes sense.
All plugged in.
All right.
Big old man batteries.
I have a hot email here from Rich Taverner. He says, "Hey guys, big fan of the show. I'm a recent subscriber and can't get enough of this prestige love. It's truly immense film and wonderful if Joe has met the Jackson himself." Has he met the Jackman himself?
I do not believe he has met the Jackman.
Oh, no. Well,
I don't. Krupa has. That was Krupa's first big industry interview.
Big gig.
And when he walked into the room, apparently he was standing there as Hugh Jackman only can, with his legs slightly akimbo, like bold stance, eating a curly whirly.
Well,
now we know. Which is a good chocolate
choice. I didn't expect that ending.
I know, right?
But let me continue. "I'm obsessed with PTA's Magnolia, but my partner refuses to watch it. She's put off by the runtime. What are some of your favourite ridiculously long films, let's say 2 hours and 30 minutes plus, from an old school friend in the traditional sense of the phrase, Rich, sent from my iPhone?"
I don't like long films. I hate long films.
Lord of the Rings, any of the extended editions.
Why do you think you're reading that one out, Jesse?
Yeah, I know.
I knew you'd say Lord of the Rings immediately.
Exactly. Yeah, for sure. Lord of the Rings, like the extended editions.
Doesn't need to be that long.
No. They do. There's a lot to cover.
No. Bah, bullshit.
Well, you know, you have the theatrical cut.
Be a better video editor. That's what I say.
Yeah. Make stronger decisions.
Well, I mean, what other long films exist surrounding
How long was Endgame? No. The last one, sorry.
That's probably not far off that as well.
Because that was one film that I thought was long, but it flashed past.
I'm very much like them, whereas if I see a 2.5 hour runtime, it could be the best film ever. There will be hesitation to start watching that.
My heart sinks a little bit. Yeah, absolutely.
And sometimes it will be, I was an idiot for not watching this sooner. But it's just the idea of it. Like when I see an film is an hour and a half, like most horror films are about an hour and a half. Yeah. I think, brilliant. That's what I want. Yeah, exactly. I'll watch that. It's an hour and a half.
I
think 2 hours for me is like the sweet spot. Make films 2 hours.
I mean, what's the runtime of the upcoming Avenger?
Long.
It's probably the longest one.
It's usually hours.
Again, I feel like they will fill that very adequately.
Yeah. I mean, people saying that Thanos is going to get defeated in like the first 20 minutes. So like, what's the rest of the film?
We will find out next week, Jesse. Okay. Well, you might not. We will.
Gosh.
But yeah, the idea of watching like Dances with Wolves or Schindler's List again, or what's the other one that's really pissing long?
Das Boot, I think, which is like a submarine film.
Isn't Ben Hur like really long as well?
Oh, what, the original one? Yeah, it's like 50 million hours long.
Like, I went to go and see JFK at the cinema, and there was an intermission, which you don't get very often. Why don't you get it anymore?
The Hateful Eight was the only one I can think of which did an intermission.
Like, but that's such a Tarantino thing to do.
That was a gimmick that
he did. Yes, exactly.
The only film I've seen that had an intermission was, like, I think the last Harry Potter film, but I can't remember that being too
long. That had an intermission?
The cinema I went to had an intermission, but I think that's maybe just what the cinema does.
Yeah,
so I have no idea.
Wasn't Avatar did they bring long?
Oh, yeah, Avatar's about 3 hours or maybe 2.5.
Avatar's just shite Pocahontas.
I can't believe that Avatar sequels are coming out now. It just seems,
and they're going to be at 60 frames per second. Are you ready
for
that?
Actually,
yeah.
Oh, don't need to do that.
But he has to do it. It's the future.
You have to add a gimmick. There has to be something attached to it so you can sell it.
Exactly. Yeah. Looking forward to that.
Right. This is from Martin Rackham. Hi. If you don't have Tina Moore, Never Gonna Let You Go, or Double 99, R.I.P. Groove, or Rip Groove, in your to be played list of garage tunes for your podcast, then are you really into garage music or even podcasting?
I don't even know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
They are two absolute banger garage tracks.
Can't wait to listen.
He signed it off by saying, thanks, Rack of Ham. So I guess that's his handle.
Nice. Something. Just but like
thank you, Rack
garage
of Ham.
Handle.
That's
garage handle.
That's my garage.
This is MC name. MC Rack of Ham. There
nice.
We go.
I like it.
It's quite
so
cool.
So thank you, Rack of Ham. We are going to play one of those. We're going to play Double 99 R.I.P. Groove. Thank you very much.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's HYPERTHETICAL.